I'll try to avoid anything controversial.
Fine, we'll just turn it off.
I don't have anything controversial to say, so. Okay, so Shalom Aleichem, everybody. It's an amazing crowd you guys have here. It's incredible. You guys have such a big schus, having such an amazing set of rabbeim. So it's good to thank Hashem and appreciate every opportunity that you have and try to take advantage of being able to be led by such great Talmidei Chachamim, such Baalei Musar. So I just wanted to share one or two ideas. There's a great sefer, it's called the Chidushei Aleiv. If any of them in this yeshiva still have a binding on it, it means you guys are not appreciating it well enough. But one of the shmuzen that I remember that's near and dear to my heart, I was looking it up this morning in Chidushei Aleiv, that I just wanted to share with you. So maybe actually to share just the words of the Sfarno, the last Sfarno in Parshas Bereishis. So he talks about an interesting scenario where Noach spent 120 years trying to encourage, motivate, and really try to inspire. Shalom Aleichem. He wanted to try to inspire someone in his generation to get closer to Hashem, to do tshuva, to follow in the proper ways of Hashem. And if you had a success rate, if you had to measure a success rate, he batted zero. So it's pretty incredible that somehow he spent 120 years trying to still motivate everybody to do tshuva. He didn't give up. But the Sfarno asks, why, or he doesn't really mention it as a question, but he states that it seems that he would have been more successful if he followed the ways of inspiring others that Avram Avinu did. And what did Avram do? We know Avram Avinu recognized the greatness of Hashem, he recognized the midos of Hashem, and he inspired others to really appreciate the greatness of what it means to have integrity, what it means to have kindness, what it means to be humble, what it means to go through the table of contents of the Archas Tzadikim and to really be successful at each of the different great midos. And he inspired others that, hey, all of you are created with the Tzelem Elokim, you're all created with the ability, the same DNA that in a way can lead Hashem, so to speak, to have kindness, to have compassion, to have integrity, to live a life of honesty. All of you really have that same potential within you. And isn't that what you guys want to do? Don't you want to live a life of morality, a life that's dedicated to being a good person? And even though it's very hard to do that because we all are pulled by our egos, we want to have power, we want to have fame, we want to pursue our pleasures, pursue all the different typos that we have. But in a way, what we want to do even more than that is to be a good person, to really be in touch with our true greatness and to be in touch with what really makes us successful in life, which is really to live a life of kindness and compassion, integrity, and all the other good midos. And if you read through the Aharon Tzafon a little bit, basically every page he talks about what it really means to be a good Eved Hashem. And that's all related to recognizing that true greatness, true success in life really only comes by emulating the ways of Hashem and to live a life of good midos. So there's an interesting thing. There's a Gemara in Yuma that says that what does it mean to make the name of Hashem beloved to others in this world? What does it mean to really bring other people to be inspired, to really want to follow the ways of Hashem, and to really want to learn Torah, and to really want to spread the words of Torah? And he says something that sounds very simple. He says, if those who learn Torah end up really displaying the true benefits of learning Torah, which is to be a mensch, to be medaber im habrios, I think that was the lashon, you know, benachas, which sounds like a pretty simple thing to do, to be nice to people. Or Rabbeinu Chananel says maybe it means to be honest with people. But it sounds like a pretty simple thing. If there's an equation that people see, that when we learn Torah, Torah leads us to being more of a mensch than we were beforehand, then people are going to say, hey, that's something that I want to do myself. And in a way, when we think to ourselves, if that's an inspiration when I see someone else learning Torah, that, hey, Torah is helping him become more of a mensch, that probably is an inspiration for me to learn Torah. If I see that learning Torah can make me a mensch, more of a mensch than I was before, isn't that something that I'm going to want to do? So now we might ask that it's one thing if someone's already bought into the whole picture of, I want to follow the ways of Hashem, and I want to be a mensch more than I was yesterday. So how do I do that? And I see that others are learning Torah and they're being successful. If I don't like football and I see that a great way to learn how to be a better football player is to follow a certain system, but if I'm not interested in the system, so why would I be interested in using the tools that will help me get to that system? Similarly, if I'm not interested in necessarily being a kinder person, I'd rather focus on making money, I'd rather focus on comfort and pleasure in life. So what's going to get me to want to follow that path, right? The Gemara says that anyone who sees that learning Torah is the path to being a great mensch will be inspired to say to themselves, wow, I want to do that myself. But if I'm not interested in that path, and I'm not so interested in that path, or I'm partially interested in that path, how is that going to help me want to be more inspired to do so myself? And similarly, the people in the time of Noah, there's a reason why Noah probably didn't try this path. Because imagine if you go into a discussion, if you have a discussion with people around you who have thrown out morality, they've thrown out any interest in integrity, they've thrown out any interest in family values, and they're living their life in a way that's very different than that because they feel like, this is what's important to me. My true success in life is based on survival of the fittest. If I could steal from him more than he could steal from me, I win. So you talk to someone like that and you show him that, hey, don't you want to be a mensch? Don't you want to live a life of integrity? So simply on the surface, he would say, well, look at how I have been living my life the past many years. You know, this could have been the past number of years or decades or centuries back in the day. They were living their lives in this way for many, many years for a reason, because that was their priority. We don't want to live a life of following the ways of Hashem. We don't appreciate that. It's not important to us. It's not something that we're trying to do with our lives. So if you tell them, but this is the strategy for how to get there, but I'm not going there, so why are you talking to me about that? So apparently both the Sfarno and the Gemara are telling us that when people are exposed to what it really truly means to be someone who has integrity, to what it really means to see the beauty of kindness, to what it really means to see the beauty of all the good midos, it's something that, if we're in touch with it, it's the most powerful force in the world. And it also tells us that it's possible for anyone to be in touch with that. Anyone, really, no matter how far they've gone to stamp out any connection to morality, every human being is built in a way where we have that ability to really be sensitive to it. And we have the ability to really be inspired, to really make changes. Now imagine if you're living the time of Noah, and you start to see that, hey, you know what, I'm buying into this a little bit. It's exciting to me. It's something I really want to do. But none of my friends are doing it. All of my friends are living their lives differently. All of my friends are living their lives in a way that's very, very, very different. So how does it get started? How do people start buying in? We know one of the most powerful forces in this world is the force of wanting to be like our friends. And when you think about it, you know, the Arches Tzaddikim refers to it as a mechitza sabarzel. That social pressure is it's like an iron curtain to want to be any different than my friends. If my friends are doing one thing and I'm doing different, there's like an iron curtain to be different. So how do you break down an iron curtain? It's got to be with a strong inner will. It has to be that I really want to do it. And I see the... Shalom Aleichem. I see the benefits of what it really means to be a mensch, and I want to be a mensch, you know, in that same kind of way. I see that the true success in my life, the true values in my life, are the values that Avraham Avinu is teaching. And in a way, what the Sfarno is telling us is there could have been a major upheaval in the times of Noah. Had Noah not given up. Now, if it was me and you there, we probably would have given up way before Noah did. Because if you're looking around and you're seeing, are these people going to buy into the message? Are these people going to buy into the message of, don't you want to be compassionate? No, I don't, Noah. I want to steal from my friends, just like all my friends are stealing from me. Don't you want to have integrity? No, I don't want to have integrity. That's not what sells around here. What sells around here is something very different. Yet at the same time, apparently, each and every human being has the ability to be in touch with the greatness, with the great inner desire to really want to act like a mensch, that we're able to really stand up to any social pressures, we're able to stand up to any of our own inner pressures of wanting to do different things. But we need to be able to attach ourselves, to really be able to sense within us, you know, the true success in my life, the true passion of my life is really to have more compassion. The true passion of my life is to have more integrity. And then to recognize, but how do you get that? Where's the key to getting more of this integrity? Where's the key to getting more of this compassion? So it's an interesting thing when you sit down and you open a Gemara. Not every page talks about integrity in such a clear kind of way. Not every page talks about compassion in such a clear kind of way. It's not every single page is a Musar Shmuz about how great Hashem's kindness is. Not every page is a Musar Shmuz in how great Hashem's kindness, compassion, integrity, and humility is. So where does it come from when the Gemara says that there's supposed to be a correlation between my dedication to my learning and how nice I am to my chavrusa? There's supposed to be some sort of, there's supposed to be some sort of formula here, that I'm going to be nicer to all of my roommates. I'm going to be a better son to my parents. I'm going to be a better friend to all of my friends. I'm going to be nicer to the person who I bump into in the street. Where do I get that from? I'm learning about Hezekria. What does that have to do with anything? I'm learning about Lo Yachbar, all kinds of halachas related to neighbors. What does that have to do with being nice to people? What does that have to do with integrity? Now, I guess when you think about it in a little bit of a deeper way, it has everything to do with integrity. It has everything to do with compassion for my neighbors. It has everything to do with finding out what's the right way to live, what's the right way to treat others. Now, not every Gemara is so clear and obvious like that. But if you imagine going through Eilu Metzias, so I remember once doing a study back in Yeshiva. It wasn't an organized study, and I don't know if it was a perfect study, but I was wondering, when we were learning Eilu Metzias, is it more or less likely that you're going to find someone else's Gemara on the other side of the Beis Medrash, and you're going to be more likely to return it to him? Hey, this is my friend's Gemara, and he's probably going to be looking for it. So I'm not sure what the actual result of the study was, but I know for myself, I've learned Eilu Metzias a number of times without actually being aware of the fact that that actually means I'm supposed to return, you know, the hat that seems to be in the wrong place. And I've learned the Gemara many times where I wasn't necessarily sensitive when there was a pile of Sfarim on my table to not actively make them into a Metzia, you know, to move them to a different place because it's my table and it's not supposed to be here, and therefore I want to move it away. But in a way, when you really stop and think, you know, a person can spend, with his chavrusa and with his yeshiva, we have the ability to spend many, many, many hours. And if our neighbor would ask us, hey, what do you guys do in yeshiva all day? And we would tell them, you know, at this time, we're studying such an intricate system of laws about what the true sensitivity that we should have to our friends and neighbors when we find something that was lost of theirs. And the guy would say, well, is there so much to learn about that? If you want to return it, go return it. And if you're not in the mood to return it, is it really such a big deal? And we would stop and think for a second, you know, why are we spending, you know, many, many, many hours studying these things? Is this really what Hashem wants me to be doing? Does Hashem really want me to be developing an idea of the right way to treat other people's property? Does Hashem really want me to develop an idea of what it really means to understand the dedication I should have to return someone else's lost object? The halacha of Yishol Midas always boggled my mind. Imagine finding something that's relatively not expensive, and you have reason to believe that you found it before the guy ever found out, recognized that he lost it. And the halacha generally seems to be that what you're supposed to do is you can't stick it into your pocket and just keep it. So I remember I was learning with a bunch of college kids, and I asked them, how do you understand, like, why this would be something that you should do, that you shouldn't be allowed to keep it. So they took a number of different questions. One person said, well, it's because it's really expensive, and if it wasn't expensive, there's no way there would be such a halacha. And if it's really expensive, maybe there's a one in a million, you'll get it back to him. So it took a while to really highlight, no, it's even when it's not expensive. Well, he's going to be looking for it in a minute, so he probably won't give up hope. Like, no, we're talking about even where it's pretty certain that he will give up hope. So what you're actually supposed to do is probably something we should all ask ourselves. Like, do we walk into the standard from home and find like a closet full of Yishol Midas objects? So, and if not, why don't we? So there are probably ways around it. But it's really mind-boggling. So what is the answer? Why are you supposed to keep it? Who cares? Why would Hashem want us to do such a thing? And it took a while where I asked them, well, is it yours? And after a while of, well, who cares? Why does it matter? So I said, are you allowed to keep something that's not yours? Well, I guess not. But in a way, when you learn Gemara with a certain sensitivity to what it really means to have an honesty and integrity, that something that's not mine is not mine. Something that we know that we've lost in our lives. There are probably many times we've lost something, someone returned it to us, and we were so appreciative. And developing that sensitivity and that kindness for others. So there's some Gemaras where the Midos are really very clearly seen. You learn a parak like Lo Yachbar, it's all about my needs against his needs, and how do you balance them, and it's important to find out what all the lumdus is. But while we're trying to figure out all the lumdus of what all the halachas are, to try to have a sensitivity for what are they all about. When our neighbor asks us, what are you learning about, and why do you care? Why is this important to you? And we can answer, you know what? This is the Torah, and the Torah teaches us a sensitivity for truth, a sensitivity for integrity, a sensitivity for finding out what Hashem really wants from us and how we should live our lives. Not every Gemara is like that, but it's interesting. In the Tznuas HaMusar, in the Hakdama, in the introduction, which suggested reading at some point in our lives, he really describes so much about what Musar is all about. And one of the things he highlights, I was so intrigued to see that even back in the day, they had the same thoughts, is when you come to an Agadata Gemara, and the first thought is, who needs this? Why is it important? It's not really relevant, and it'll help me get through enough blots that'll be helpful and beneficial for me. He says, why do you think like that? He says, aren't these Gemaras which, in a way, it's more on the surface, finding out about Emun and Bitachon and Hashem, or finding out about kindness and Midos in our relationships. So he says, isn't that really what Avodas Hashem is so centrally focused around? So he says, sometimes it either means that our perspective about what Avodas Hashem is really centered around might be off, or our ability to see that in the Gemara might be a little bit off. And one of those two things are telling us, this Gemara is not so important, it's only about Chesed. This Gemara is not so important, it's only about Bitachon. Now, there's some Agadat Gemaras that are hard to relate to, you know, to begin with. I don't think that that's necessarily what he's referring to. But really, I guess one thing that's so striking to me is when, if someone is asking us, what are you trying to do in yeshiva? It's something that we should really sometimes maybe reflect on. What am I trying to do in yeshiva? What am I trying to do as an Eved Hashem? So that's a good question. What inspires me to do the right thing? One of the biggest benefits of living in a frum society and being in a yeshiva is that you have so much structure, which enables us to really go through the day and to be encouraged and habituated toward doing the right thing, which is amazing. It's one of the greatest benefits that we have nowadays, to be able to live in such a structure. But it also creates a little bit of a challenge, that sometimes we fall into the path that the Maseilas Yesharim would tell us is kisus shatav b'milchama. Now, it's a good thing to be like sus shatav b'milchama when the milchama is toward the right direction, where what we're doing is we're doing good things, and everyone around us is doing good things. But sometimes it's a challenge where we don't really reflect in what's it really all about? What am I really trying to do? So in a way, every time we're fighting with our chavrusa, no, that's not what you said. And we ask ourselves, like, why am I fighting with him about that? Why is that relevant? Is it helping me get a better pshat in the Gemara? Or is it helping me make sure that my chavrusa knows that I got a better pshat than he did? So when we're asking ourselves the formula of Torah learning is supposed to lead us to being more of a mensch. So what that means is that I'm going to want to be more sensitive, that when I do recognize that he made a mistake, or at least I think he made a mistake, I'm going to be sensitive in whether I communicate with him about the fact that he made a mistake, how I communicate with him about the fact that he made a mistake. Is my goal really to try to get to understand Hashem better, to understand Hashem's Torah better, to really develop myself into more of a mensch, more of an Eved Hashem? So how do I see that reflecting itself in how I treat my chavrusas, my roommates, my friends, my parents, my neighbors, my rebbeim? Do I see myself becoming the kind of person who's going to be a better dad, a better husband, a better person, you know, in this world? Or am I sometimes a little too focused on, or not focused on what I'm really trying to accomplish? So the Aretz Tzafon, Rabbi Nosson Tzvi Finkel, I saw Rabbi Yanki Moskowitz has sent out a link where tomorrow, I believe, is his Yahrzeit, if I understood what he was saying correctly. But he says such an interesting line. He says that everything revolves around trying to be Doma to Hashem, trying to emulate the ways of Hashem. And I remember Rabbi Harris back in Yeshiva, he once gave a vod, he was trying to figure out and to try to explain, so how does that relate to Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam? And in a way, we say that Torah learning is the most important, and being a mensch is the most important. There are a lot of things that we'll find are the most important. And maybe it's important to try to figure out, is there a real clear answer to that question? But at the same time, we spend so many hours in yeshiva every day, every week, every month. It's such an amazing, amazing opportunity that each of you have at this stage in life. And try to take advantage of every moment that you have to be able to be learning Torah and to be developing all your skills and being able to learn Torah better and to really try to know so much of Hashem's Torah. And at the same time, it's so good to stop every once in a while and think, what's the goal of all of it? What am I trying to do with my life? And to really, in a way, embrace the great, great, great mission that Hashem has given all of us, which is Ladasas Hashem v'lalachas bedrachav. If that's something that even people in the time of Noah could have connected to, and it's the kind of thing that Avraham Avinu tried to inspire the people of his generation towards, and it's the thing that enabled Avraham to be able to be zochet to v'nefesh asher asu b'charam, that he was able to really change people's lives and to really help people become the kind of people that they were supposed to be, it's probably also our greatest form of true motivation. When we sincerely relate to the fact that Hashem wants me to be the kindest person, the most gentle person, the most honest person, the person who lives his life with the greatest true dignity, which is to really follow in the ways of Hashem, the more I connect to it, granted, life is going to be full of all kinds of different challenges, and life is going to be really, really hard, and there's so many different things that get in the way of us doing the right thing. But when we're internally inspired, I want to be like Hashem. I want to be my true great self, the great self that could really be emulating the ways of Hashem. The more and more we connect to that inner mission within ourselves, the more we'll be inspired and passionate about the Avodas Hashem that we're going to be connected to. And hopefully we should all be zocha to one day at a time fulfill our mission to the greatest of our own abilities. Thank you again for listening, and thank you for inviting me.